Hallelujah. Well, today, you know, 2 weeks ago, if you were with us, we talked about last day's deception. Last Sunday, we had a water baptism service that I'm sure that if you were here, you enjoyed it. I always enjoy them more than any other service, practically. But I just felt like, and I prayed, I wanted to go another direction, but I felt like the Lord wanted us to go in this direction. And so we're going to talk about last day's deception a little bit more. I'm going to do a little bit of review, and then we're going to launch off from there and just give you some principles that I think are going to be helpful to you in the days in which we live. I think that most of you understand that we are living in the last days, and I'm not saying that Jesus is coming tomorrow or anything like that, but the last days biblically are defined as from his first coming to his second coming. And so certainly we are in between his first coming and his second coming. There's no question about that. And being that's the case, then we can definitely say that we are in the last days. And as I've said before, the question is not whether or not we're in the last days. The question is, are we in the last of the last days? And we don't know the answer to that for sure. He may come in our lifetime. He may not come in our lifetime. But the fact of the matter is, he is coming again. Amen. And so we need to be prepared no matter what. And we understand that this idea of deception is something that is running rampant today, but it's been all through the 2,000 or so years since he came the first time. There has been deception, and at different times there's been more of it than other times, and I think that most of you can see that our world is heaped full of deception. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. We're going to review a few things that we said before. And so let's just get right down to it. And as I mentioned to you, I'll say this before we get right into the review. You know, I believe that the job of a pastor, you know, the word pastor means shepherd. And so the job of a shepherd, of course, is basically threefold. I believe that the shepherd's job is to feed. That means in this case, spiritually feed you the word of God. Secondly, is to lead. Lead you to pasture, you know, pasture and lead you and whatever it is God's called us to do, and then also to protect you. I believe a shepherd's job is to protect the sheep, right? And so part of what I'm going to share with you today, or a main part, really, of what I want to share with you today is with the idea that I need to help you be protected in a day and age that is full of deception. And so I pray that this is the case. And when you think about it, if you've read the New Testament, if you've read the letters of the Apostle Paul, the letters of Peter, the letter of Jude, etc., you find that a vast amount of material is in those epistles, those letters concerning false doctrine, false teaching, deception, and all of that kind of thing. The Apostle Paul, especially, seeing he wrote maybe about 2/3 of the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, obviously, he talked about you know, false teachers and warned about false doctrine and things like this. Repeatedly. And so it was a problem then, and it's a problem now. But my point is this, that if we're going to be majoring on what the Bible seems to major on, especially, as I said, the New Testament, if we're going to major on what the Bible majors on, then one of the things we need to major on is this idea of deception and how to avoid it, how to recognize it, and things such as this. Does that make sense to you? And so if that is the case, then that's what we're trying to do. And we began 2 weeks ago in Matthew chapter 24, and you don't have to turn there at this point. At some point, we might be turning there to look at some other verses, but this is a review of 2 weeks ago. You'll notice this is Jesus is about to speak to his disciples, and we're going to start reading it up on the screen just to refresh your memory for those of you that were here and to help set the stage for those of you that were not here so that you know and understand better where we're heading with this. But notice what it says. As in verse 3 of Matthew 24, it goes on from there. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, he is speaking of Jesus, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, and I highlighted this part, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And deception or deceiving is found several times here. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Obviously, this applies today. There are wars going on, and there are rumors of war. Someone defined a rumor of war as like a cold war. And that's kind of a terminology for us today. A cold war is a war that is just being talked about or threatened or whatever, but isn't actually engaged in yet. And so, wars and rumors of wars. "See that you are not troubled." Now, here's a key phrase. "See that you are not troubled by these things." You know, what's going on in this world today today, every single individual could be tempted to be troubled by what's going on. And I understand that, whether it's the war with Israel and Iran, whether it's the threat of nuclear war, you hear people saying in the news, World War III and all this kind of thing, and I understand that it could be tempting to be troubling for us. But Jesus said, these things are going to be happening, and he says, see that you are not troubled. And how can we see that we're not troubled? By trusting in God, staying in the Word of God, counterweighing the bad news with the good news, spending more time in the good news and meditating on that than you are in the bad news. If you're spending too many hours talking about and listening and watching the bad news, let me tell you something, you're going to be troubled in life. Are you following me here? And so you need to spend more time with the good news. I'm not saying ignore what's going on in the world. I don't think we should ignore it. But we need to approach it in faith. And we need to know some things that are going on in this world so that we can put those things to prayer. Because God is a God who answers prayer. And don't ever forget this either. And I know I've mentioned it before, but I think in the context of what we're talking about, it's important to mention it again. Remember Jesus said, he said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so I'm not talking about this particular church. I'm talking about the church overall that God is building his church. I believe it applies to this individual church as well. But the church is all people that are born again, that believe on Jesus Christ, no matter where they are in the world. And he said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That means the church is and will prevail against the gates of hell. Amen. Is everybody with me here today? And so don't be moved, you know, by things that you read or things that you hear on the news, you know, things like, oh, the church is going down or, you know, Christianity is going out or whatever the case may be. Let me tell you something. First of all, the church is not going down and Christianity is not going out. What is happening? Amen. It's not. You can't believe everything you hear. It's like somebody said, well, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Is everybody all right here today? Anyway, I better move on here because I'm taking too much of time on that. But I just want to encourage you today. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. Again, we see application today. And kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences. How about that COVID-19? And earthquakes. How about what happened in Taiwan and in New Jersey? Earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And so going on with that, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. Some are being killed today, aren't they? I don't know if you've heard the news, but there's many in different parts of the world where persecution is rampant and people are being killed and tortured in some cases and what have you, being martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ, whether it be China, whether it be in Muslim countries or whatever, these things are happening. How about, in Nigeria, I read not too long ago, of certain parts of Nigeria where these things are happening. And so different parts of the world, we know that that is happening. And not only that, but let me tell you, persecution is increasing here in the United States. But you know, when persecution increases, this is the way I choose to think about it. I like to think of it as I'm a cup half full guy. I'm not a cup half empty guy. You understand the difference, right? And when persecution increases, what I look at that, or how I look at that, is that means our adversary, the devil, is running scared. That he wants to do everything he can to stop the church. But let me tell you, the church cannot be stopped. The gospel cannot be stopped. You remember in the book of Acts, amen. In the book of Acts, you read about the persecution that the early followers of Christ went through. And many, many things worse than most Americans have gone through. They were going through all these various things. But then it would say periodically throughout the book of Acts, but the word of God increased and prevailed. And I would submit to you and declare to you, really, that no matter what, the Word of God is increasing and is prevailing. And you know, the darker the world gets, the more people seem to be waking up, even those that have been non-believers, the darker and the more deception, the more going away from just good old-fashioned common sense, which just doesn't seem to be so common anymore, the more the world goes away from that, it seems the more people, even non-believers, are waking up to, you know what, they're going too far. Amen. And so as he goes on with this, notice again, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. There it is again. And because lawlessness will abound, we see this throughout our nation and the world, lawlessness. I mean, things that are happening with riots breaking into stores. New York City is full of lawlessness, isn't it? In other parts of the country, Chicago, etc., lots of places are full of lawlessness, and the lawless ones are not being punished. And so they feel they can get away with anything. Isn't that right? And so we see that this was predicted in the Scripture as well. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Well, you know, I want you to know that this gospel has not been preached to all the nations yet. Now, it's making progress, but there are still many that need to hear this good news. Amen? And the thing is, I'm convinced that the more the bad news is, the more predominant the bad news is, the more there are people out there that are just looking, grasping for some good news. You hear what I'm saying? And so they become, in some cases, maybe even many cases, they become more receptive to some good news. And they may even go around saying, I just need some good news, man. I've heard all this that's going on. I need some good news. Well, let me tell you, I've got some good news for you. Amen? It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins so that you could be forgiven and that you could have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I mean, there's some good news. Amen? Amen. And so as we continue, you know, as I always do a review, I review and add some to it, right? And so who are those who will be deceived? We know those who are being deceived or will be. Those are those who are not established in the truth of God's word. And so we talked about defining truth. Again, what is truth? That which conforms to reality and the standard it represents. Truth is the content of that which is true and thus in accordance with what actually happened. And I mentioned to you how, you know, our world is denying that there is any objective or absolute truth. They're trying to live by relative truth, which means, you know, your truth and my truth might not be the same. There's no absolutes. There's nothing that we can absolutely say are right and wrong. And I want you to know that is, a slippery slope for one thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because the more people have this mentality and the more that mentality is fed into, the more people say, well, you know, right and wrong. There's no right and wrong. It might be right for you, but wrong for me or vice versa or whatever. You know, that, again, is a very dangerous world. And it just is, as I mentioned, a slippery slope. It can lead to more and more things. And we see this happening, don't we? People are not living in reality. People are not living according to what actually has happened. The world is deceived. The world is living amongst lies and liars. And who is the father of lies according to the Scripture? Satan himself. In John chapter 8, it talks about Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. It says to them that your father is the devil. Isn't that right? And that he is a liar and a murderer, and there's no truth in him. And so what does he do? He propagates lies. He gets others to be liars and cheaters and all that kind of thing. And so it's so necessary that you and I stand for truth, the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the gospel. Because again, as I've already mentioned to you in this scripture, as we mention this scripture again in 1 Timothy chapter 3, notice Paul, by the Holy Spirit, he says, these things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Notice the pillar and ground of the truth. And so one reason why, as Jesus predicted, that the world will hate us and even kill some of us is because we are speaking truth and they don't want to hear the truth. Now I got quiet, and I understand. But nevertheless, we got to stand for the truth. Amen? And you know, we're going against the flow of the world. Whenever you go against the flow, you face opposition, don't you? You face opposition. But you know what? God has called us to be full of courage. God has called us to be people of faith. God has called us to stand, and having done all to stand, keep on standing for the truth and to speak the truth in love, in a loving way. Because as I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, that love and truth go together. When you love people, you tell them the truth because you don't want them to be destroyed. You don't want their lives to be destroyed. You don't want their lives ruined. And so you share the truth in love so that their lives might be rich and abundant, because Jesus came to bring truth and therefore also an abundant life for those who will receive it. Are you following me here today? Turn with me now as we approach some things here. I just want to look at this, and I'm not totally finished with review, but I want you to look at this scripture, John chapter 18. If you have a Bible with you, and if you don't, maybe your neighbor, if you smile at them, they'll let you look on with them or whatever. But John chapter 18, I want you to look at something here that I think is important for us to keep in mind and to know to begin with. In John chapter 18, if you have a Bible, turn there. And if you don't, maybe you got a Bible app, go to your Bible app or whatever the case may be. And we're going to read this, all right? John chapter, what I say, anybody know? John chapter 18, just testing you, and beginning with verse 37. Now notice now, Jesus is here before Pilate. It says in verse 37, Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the what? The truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And so therefore, and because of that, we can understand, well, why can't people see these things? Why can't people see through the deception? Why can't people see through the daze, if you will, D-A-Z-E? Why can't people see through that? Well, if you're of Him, if you're with Him, if you're connected to Jesus, then you're going to understand the truth. Amen? But you see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that the God of this world, that's speaking of Satan, it's a small g, the ruler, it would have been a better translation, the ruler of this world system, the ruler of this world system blinds the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine to them. And so those who are lost, those who don't know Jesus, the Bible says their minds are blinded by the adversary, the devil. He blinds people's minds so they cannot see. But there is a glorious gospel. There's a gospel that can shine. And that gospel can penetrate every bit of blindness and darkness a person is in. Isn't that right? In fact, I would declare that there's probably some here today, maybe even all of us, most of us, at one time or another, we were blind, we were in darkness, but aren't you glad the light of the gospel shined to us? Amen? Amen. And we received it and understood it, and as a result, as time went on, we grew in our relationship with God and got more of the Word of God into us. We were able to recognize deception more and more as we grew and knew Him and the Word of God more and more. Isn't that right? And then notice as it reads on with this, you know, Jesus speaking again, he said that I should bear, this is why I came, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Then it says in verse 38, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." And so it's interesting, you know, Pilate hears from Jesus, who is the walking, living, the persona, really, the persona of truth. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me," in John 14, 6. And he's got the living truth in front of him, Pilate does. And he says to the living truth, "What is truth?" And that's what a lot of people say today. Isn't that right? Well, what is truth? My truth and your truth. You know, that might be your truth, but that's not my truth. Well, I want you to know that that is a falsehood, that there is truth that's true for everybody at all times and in every place. And if not, we live in a more and more dangerous world than we could ever even imagine, but there is. Thank God for that. Amen. And the more you live your life based on truth, the more solid, the more grounded, the more healthy you will be in every regard. Amen. And basically, that's living a life based on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, Pilate didn't wait to listen to the answer. He said to Jesus, oh, if only he had waited for the answer. He said to Jesus, "What is truth?" And then he left and went out, "I find no fault in him." He didn't even wait to get an answer. Don't let that be you. Amen? There is an answer. Thank God for that. In James chapter 5, I want to give you this. James 5. 7 and 8, "Therefore be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So it's so important that we get our hearts established, firm, and stable in the things of God in this world. And so what should our attitude toward truth be? We should desire it, seek it, love it, and submit to the truth of God's word. If we're going to have an abundant life, a blessed life, a joyous life, we've got to grab a hold of truth. Amen? And that's primarily the word of God. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, there's truth in other areas as well. There's truth in mathematics. I mean, mathematics, as I said to you, you know, before, how many of you know 2 times 2 is always 4? It's never 5. It's never 7. It's always 4. Isn't that right? And would you agree with me? That's absolute truth. And you know, people that don't believe in absolute truth, usually they admit there's absolute truth in some things in science. Not all science is absolute truth either, what they call science. But mathematics, there's absolute truth. But usually where they argue is in regard to moral truth. Is there any absolute moral truth? Well, we know that there is if it's based on the Word of God. Amen? We know that it is. Now, the benefits, and this is where I left off last time, I believe. Benefits of living by truth, you'll live in freedom as opposed to bondage. If you don't live by truth, you'll be in bondage. Number 2, you'll be able to recognize deception the more you're in the truth. Number 3, truth will be a trusted guide in your life. Number 4, obeying the truth will help you have a great run. And then 5thly, the truth will sanctify or set you apart in these days that we live. And I gave these to you two weeks ago. And so we're going to go on in the little bit of time that we have. Is everybody doing all right here this morning? All right, so we did a little review and added some thoughts to it. So I pray that it's building into you. Because, you know, really, repeating things is helpful to us. Remember Peter said, I shared this verse a couple weeks ago. Peter said, I'm not going to be negligent, brethren, to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. And so even though we know some things, we need to have them reiterated, sometimes reiterated a little bit differently, because maybe we didn't catch it the first time, but the second time it resonated with us. Isn't that right? Amen. And so now, as we look at this, how do we guard against deception in these last days? These are some practical and biblical ways that we guard against deception in these last days. The first one I have mentioned to you, and of course, you know, I trust that you're not going to get, you know, bored with it because I've mentioned it to you before. But how many of you know if it's old to you, it's not real to you? Any truth that we share, if it's old to you, it's not real to you. The first one is, make the diligent study of God's Word a priority. And you know, really, the two key words there is diligent study of the Word of God. Notice what Eddie Hyatt said in a book called Angels of Light. He said, make the diligent study of God's Word our number one priority. Anything can be proved by proof texting, that is, quoting verses of Scripture out of context. I'm going to pause there for a moment. How many of you know that context makes a difference? Amen. And so we say, stay in the Word of God. We need to stay in the Word of God and understand it within its context. That's why we often teach through books of the Bible, especially Thursday nights, and we want to read it in the context because context makes a difference. You know, some of you might have heard this analogy before. You know, somebody said this just to give the strength or give an example of how you can take things out of context. You know, the Bible says that Judas went and hanged himself. How many of you know Judas went and hanged himself? The Bible says, you can take that little snippet out of the script. Judas went and hanged himself. Then you take another little snippet, go and do likewise. I mean, you know, that's taken out of context. Amen? And so, you know, we have to take it within the context. And there's different levels of context of the Scripture. There's the immediate context, the immediate verses. There's the immediate chapter in the Scripture. There's the immediate, if you will. The other level would be the epistle or the book that you're writing, or that you're reading, rather. And then there's the context of the Testament, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. Then there's the context of the whole Bible. And so these things take time for us to get to know. But after a while, it doesn't have to take a long, long, long period of time. It all depends upon each one of us being diligent in our study of God's Word. Amen? Amen. And so as he goes on, anything can be proved by proof texting, that is, quoting verses of Scripture out of context. Let the Bereans of Acts 17:11 be our guide. They were commended because instead of naively accepting what Paul and Silas preached, they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. We need to have a daily study, a daily searching of the Scriptures in order to see that these things are so. And we Americans are so blessed because there's so many resources out there, some good, some not so good, but there's so many resources so that we can grow and learn and all that kind of thing. And so the first thing is make a diligent study of God's Word. We know that God's Word is truth, and so therefore that is one of the main things in order to stay out of deception in these last days. Also, watch out for those claiming to have a new revelation. I've been talking about some of this in 2 Timothy, the Bible study, but that's all right. It bears repetition, and we need to cover this with everybody if we can. Watch out for those claiming to have new revelation. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. This is the New English translation, a great translation. It says, "For there will be a time when people will not tolerate sound teaching. Instead, following their own desires, they'll accumulate teachers for themselves because they have an insatiable curiosity to hear new things. And they'll turn away from hearing the truth, but on the other hand, they'll turn aside to myths." And so we have this contrast, truth or myths. Your Bible might say fables instead of myths, but either way, there's truths or non-truths. And so again, we have to make up our minds. Are we going to follow sound teaching, sound doctrine? Again, sound teaching is sound doctrine. If we're going to follow that, again, that's the way we're going to stay true. And again, don't look around for just some new revelation all the time. In fact, be careful. You know, I've heard people say, I've got something nobody's ever taught before. How many of you know, watch out for that? Isn't that right? Red flag ought to go up right away. Isn't that right? Amen. I remember one preacher years ago told another preacher who told the story. He said that this guy said to him, he was teaching something. I don't even remember what it was. I don't even know if that pastor told us what it was. But he said he was teaching something, and the guy challenged him and said, "Well, give me scripture and verse for that. Give me passages for that." And the guy said, "Oh, you won't find what I'm teaching in that thing." Something's wrong with this mentality. Isn't that right? Amen. And so again, watch out for those that might want to teach new doctrine. I'd like you to turn, and I'm going to have to end soon, but I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians, if you don't mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't have it on the screen. You're going to have to turn there, which is good for you anyway, correct? Well, 10 of you think it's correct. All right. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to read some things to you and just share some thoughts with you about this idea again of deception and being wary of quote-unquote new revelation. Got to be real careful about that. Notice now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you're there, say yes. In verse 1, again, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says this, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little while, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So he's exhorting the Corinthians. The Corinthians were being deceived about a lot of things. False teachers. Again, remember I mentioned to you, so many of Paul's epistles dealt with false teaching, false doctrine, false teachers, etc. And so as he goes on, verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And so, you know, sometimes when people come up with some kind of new revelation, I have noticed that many times it's just so complicated. Just so complicated. And here Paul says that they had departed or been at least seduced to get away from the simplicity that is in Christ. And you know, once you get so complicated, I mean, that can already lead to some things. You know, I remember one person years and years ago said something about, "Well, you know, when you reach my level, you'll understand these things." I want to tell you, watch out for people that think that their level is higher than yours, because pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Isn't that right? I don't want to be at that level, because that level's dangerous, amen, because it's error. As we go on with this now, notice he goes on to verse 4. "But if he who comes preaches another Jesus," everybody say another Jesus. I'm going to read on in a couple of minutes here, but how many of you know that there are groups and people, individuals, that teach a different Jesus than what the Scripture teaches us? Isn't that right? I mean, let's take for example the Mormons, the Church of Latter-day Saints. All right, now they have this idea. First of all, they are polytheists, and so they believe in many gods. You understand, right? They are not Christian. I know they appear Christian. I know that a lot of them are nice people. But they are also in deception, because Joseph Smith was a deceived man. You understand? All right, you know he died in a shootout, by the way. Back in Western days, he died in a shootout. They were after him, and he shot his way, tried to shoot his way out of it, and he got killed. But anyway, that's beside the point. But my point is this. See, in the Church of Latter-day Saints, they teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Boy, I got some gasps on that. But that's what they teach. And they teach that Jesus was born because the Father had sexual relationships with one of the spiritual mothers, and he was born in that way. And so you see, this is a different Jesus. Some people have said, well, you know, the Mormons, they talk about Jesus and they use a lot of the same phrases that you and I would use, but they do not mean the same thing to them that those phrases would mean to us, you understand? And then there's the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I'm not trying to pick out people. I just want people to get saved. Amen? And I just want to warn you about some of these things. I think it's important to do that. The Apostle Paul, as I said, Peter, Jude, James, they warned about different teachings that were in error. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses, what do they believe? They believe that Jesus was and is the angel Michael. Well, there's no scripture for that now, is there, right? But what are they doing by saying that? They mean that Jesus was a created being, like an angel would be a created being. They do not acknowledge that he is God or Jehovah. We sang some songs about Jehovah. I thought to myself, do everybody understand? We're not Jehovah's Witnesses, all right? Jehovah is a name for God in the Old Testament. Yahweh is another word for that as well. And so Jehovah is God in the Old Testament, right? But yet Jehovah's Witnesses don't acknowledge that Jesus is Jehovah. He is God. The Bible makes that abundantly clear that God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Isn't that right? Everybody hearing me here? And so they will say, I have to remember how the phrase is, they will say that Jesus is a almighty small g God, but they will not say that he is almighty God. You understand the difference, right? That's my understanding as I've studied that in different references and what have you. And so again, my idea or my point is that be wary, and that's not the only ones. I mean, whatever, you know, even New Agers will talk about Jesus sometimes. But remember, Paul is warning as we read this again. I pray that you're getting something out of this. He's saying this: if anyone comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In other words, you are tolerating. He's basically saying this as an accusation that you are tolerating people that are preaching another Jesus, another spirit, have another spirit, and preaching another gospel. And so, you know, in some ways, that's where the deception is even greater. Remember, we read that Jesus said, even to his disciples, he warned them that there's going to be false Christs who are going to come, and false prophets that are going to come. And so again, this idea of another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, and it sounds good so often. But you know, I shared this not too long ago on Bible study too. We get in more detail about things on Bible study, but I want to give you some ideas here too, because I need to get things into you just to help you. I pray it helps you. You know, when I was younger, I had to get a job that was in pest control, all right? Some people call it exterminator, but, you know, I prefer pest control technician. Pest control technician, all right? And so, you know, I was a pest control technician. And one of my bosses, this is back where I grew up, and one of my bosses, you know, he was at a restaurant, very fine dining restaurant. Watch out. Fine dining restaurant that was having trouble with rats. They couldn't get rid of the rats. The rats would not eat the poison even that he put out. They wouldn't eat the poison. I mean, you know, rats are smart. They really are intelligent animals. They're very smart. And so my old boss, he got this idea, all right? I'm going to mix. He asked the restaurant owner, do you have any blue cheese? We got blue cheese. So he went, he mixed that blue cheese with some good old-fashioned rat poison. And he put that blue cheese out there with the rat poison in it, and he killed every one of those rats. And my point is this, that in order to deceive people, many times there's a mixture of truth with error. And just enough truth. Oh, they talked about Jesus. They talked about the Holy Spirit. They talked about salvation, all these things. But they're saying and they're thinking a different way than what the Bible actually teaches. Are you following me here? And so again, so important that we get grounded in the Word of God, in the Word of God. Let's just finish this up here for today, and God willing, we might go on next week. Eventually, I'm aiming to get into teaching about the end times. And we are talking about some with end times, but I'm talking about the coming of the Lord. How do we recognize the coming of the Lord? What are the sequence of events in the coming of the Lord? Because a lot of people are interested in that in the day that we live in, and people need to hear it. People need to know what the Bible teaches about the second coming and about the catching up of the church and various things that are going to happen still that we need to be looking for. Amen? Is everybody okay with that? All right. I mean, there's so many things that I want to teach this year that I think are going to be a great blessing and a help to us in our journey and our growth process and the things of God. Let's just read just a little bit more here in verse 5. of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, "For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself?" This is verse 7. "That you might be exalted because I preach the gospel of God to you free of charge." And then he goes on and mentions other things. I'm going to skip a little bit for sake of time. Notice down to verse 10. "As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia." Why? "Because I do not love you, God knows." In other words, you know, they were upset in some cases, maybe not all of them, but some of them got upset with the Apostle Paul because he was telling them things they didn't want to hear. And how many of you know that that happens today as well? Isn't that right? Hopefully that's not happening as we speak, that you're getting upset with me because I'm telling you things you don't want to hear. Hopefully that's not happening right now. But this was part of the problem here with the Apostle Paul, because they were receiving teaching and loving some of the teaching, but Paul is bringing correction, and they didn't necessarily want to hear that. But Paul is reassuring them, "Am I sharing these things because I love you? I'm sharing them because I love you." And then he goes on in verse 12, "But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast." Now notice verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." Verse 14, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." How many of you know that that's true? I mean, he transforms himself into an angel of light. And so often, again, you know, he deceives in that way. He comes across differently than what he was or what he is. Even in the garden with Eve, as he mentions earlier, as we read in this passage, the idea that Eve was deceived. You know, Satan looked good to her. And the things he was saying seduced her into eating and disobeying God. It wasn't about the fruit. It was about disobedience to God. You follow me? It was about free choice. It was about, are you going to choose whether to follow God or not? It had to do with making a choice, and God's given mankind free will, hasn't he? Amen? And so he goes on and says that Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Verse 15, "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." And so my point, and really we'll make this my final point basically today, and that is this, that many times false teachers, false apostles, etc., they look legit on the outside. They look reputable. They even talk some things that seem reputable. But don't be deceived. Jesus warned about this. In fact, another scripture we're not going to turn to is found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, which reads this way, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And so again, on the outside, they look like sheep. They look like Christians sometimes. And on the inside, how many of you know Jesus also said in another place, "You shall know them by their fruit." In other words, what are they producing? And we've got some other things that we want to say about this that are going to help us to discern as well, to distinguish. Obviously, the scriptures, we need to know them. We need to get into them. We need to know them in context, etc. We need to know and understand that the Bible says that you and I as believers have the Spirit of truth within us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He'll guide us into all truth. How many of you know with the help of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, we can stay safe? We don't have to fear these things. I remember, and I'm going to end with this illustration. I remember several years ago, there was this lady who, you know, people were just enthused about her ministry. In fact, I'll just mention she was at Oral Roberts University doing special services at that time, and it was being filmed, and people seeing it not online. It was before internet, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, you know, things were happening that were amazing. People, you know, she'd pray for people, and oil would supposedly bubble up from her hand, you know, and then sometimes these white feathers would fall as she was praying for people. And people were just astounded. They were just in awe. In fact, I feel embarrassed for some of the ones that were well-known ministers, and their eyes bulging out like they weren't discerning at all. And but thank God for one particular minister who was able to get a hold of some things, got some samples of those feathers that had fallen, tested some things out, found out that those feathers, you know, you understand the feathers, they were thinking, you know, the Bible says the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, right? And so they're thinking, oh, this is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, whatever. They tested the feathers. The feathers turned out to be goose feathers. I want you to know the Bible never says the Holy Spirit descended like a goose. Never. But you know, the point is this, all right? And he doesn't look like a dove either. It's talking about the way in which he descended. He doesn't look like a dove. That's a symbol, though, now it has become. But my point is this. We need to be discerning. We need to be watchful. We need to stay in the Word of God. And one of the things that I'll probably get into next week, don't be following around looking for signs and wonders. Now, we believe in signs and wonders. We believe in signs and wonders. But there's ways even to gauge whether they're signs and wonders of God or not. Because the Bible predicts, Jesus predicted in Matthew 24 as well, that there's going to be lying signs and wonders. And so again, we can be discerning. And God willing, next week we'll talk about that some more as well. Would you stand with me here this morning? Hallelujah. Father God, we just give you glory and honor. We thank you. We thank you, Father God, for your word. I pray, Father God, that something said today would just minister to each and every one, Father God, that they might be equipped, Father God, to face the world in a greater way. Father God, we know we do live in deceiving times, Father God, in times of great confusion. But Father God, I pray that each and every one of us here today will recognize the deception, recognize the confusion for what it is, Father God, and help us to be discerning in every way by way of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, who's the Spirit of truth residing on the inside of us. Father, we thank you for helping us. I pray that as we have need, the Holy Spirit will bring some of these things to our remembrance when we need them, Father. And we believe you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. And now let's just stay in an attitude of reverence toward God for just a moment, if you don't mind. We never want to end a service without giving this opportunity. You might be here today and you might wonder whether or not if you were to breathe your last breath, if you'd be in heaven. You don't know if you have a right relationship with God. You know, in the epistle of John, first epistle of John, it says that he wrote those things to us that we might know that we have eternal life. And in fact, the Bible says that we can know we have eternal life. And the way we know it is because, or the reason we know it is because it's not based on our works. We can't earn eternal life. It's a gift from God as we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. I've sinned, you've sinned. I deserve hell, you deserve hell. But that good news of the gospel is that Jesus took the penalty, the judgment for you and for me, so that if we'll receive what he's done for us, we'll receive forgiveness and a right relationship with God and new life on the inside. And so in case there may even be one here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not absolutely sure that if you were to breathe your last breath, that you'd be in the presence of God. We want to give you that opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up here. But would you be so bold and have enough guts to just lift your hand so I can see it, and more importantly, God can see your hand, and we're all going to pray together, every one of us, and support any that need to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior today, lest there be one here today, anybody at all. All right, I'm not seeing any hands. We're going to pray this prayer. We do it anyway for the sake of those that may watch later. Let's pray this. This is based on Romans 10, 9, and 10. And so if you believe this, pray this with me. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for my sins. He took the judgment, the penalty that I deserved so I could be forgiven. And so today, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with all my heart that he not only died, but he rose again and he's alive. And so today, I turn from sin. And Lord, I turn to you. Take my life and make it what you will. And with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord thanks? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church. And look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.